You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 5th of October. Jimmy Butler, wow. Some clarification on Rudy Gobert's contract situation. Our free agent look is San Antonio Spurs sharpshooter Bryn Forbes. And our team breakdown is Dallas Mavericks. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. If you have not tuned into our off-season programming yet, here is the daily plan for you. Each day, we will give you a free agent that we'll look at. We'll give you a team breakdown. A bunch of people want me to like jump ahead. There was the Bleacher Report rumor about Mike Conley for Tobias Harris. We'll get to it. We'll get to the Philadelphia 76ers. We'll get to it. And so today we'll look at San Antonio Spurs, Bryn Forbes, and we will look at the Dallas Mavericks. And the goal of this is just by the time we're done with plenty of time, we will have a complete breakdown of all the options for the Utah Jazz if you listen each and every day. Kind of awesome. So appreciate you guys tuning in and your desire to know everything that's out there. That's the cool thing about you. Also, we're doing draft players. I looked at a kid out of Maryland last week, really liked him. We'll look at him again. I got a tweet from someone who said, I bet he moves out of the Jazz range. That was my instinct as well, quite honestly, from watching him the first time and just some of those wow play that I saw. I would suspect that he will jump above that. By the way, today's show is brought to you by Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off the first order. All right, Jimmy Butler last night was just incredible. And it's just a reminder. And for all of our other things we're going to look at and supporting cast and all these other things you need along the way, what you need is a stud, a superhuman cultural performer who changes who you are. And also worth remembering, like Jimmy Butler has gone through some ups and downs in his career. He was drafted in 2011. Like, he's in his 9th, 10th year as an NBA player right now. He spent 6 years in Chicago. He spent 2 years in Minnesota. He spent a year in Philadelphia and a year in Miami. He's in his 4th franchise. He's in his 10th year as an NBA player. He's outstanding. But to his credit, is, you know, become this player. But as we watch Donovan and Rudy, it's worth remembering, like, that's really at a young, they're still at a young stage. The thing that jumps out to me about Miami, Kelly Olynyk maybe particularly last night, how smart they are. Really simple, subtle, smart plays, but in games that are, you know, going to be a possession here or there, they just matter so much. Obviously, by the end, the Lakers rolled and Miami got hot. But there was a play in which Jimmy Butler, the play was for Kelly Olynyk to come set a pick. I think it was either for Tyler Hero or Jimmy Butler. It might have been Tyler Hero. And as he's going up to set the pick, you can see him recognize that Alex Caruso has somehow ended up on the ball handler. So it was probably Hero. Well, nobody wants, the reason you're running the pick is to have Kelly Olynyk's man probably switch onto the ball handler. Like, that's in all likelihood what you're trying to get done. Or you're going to try to free Tyler Hero off the pick into some play. The minute you see Alex Caruso is guarding Tyler Hero or Jimmy Butler, you actually don't want to run a pick up there. You at that point have made are going to make a decision that, you know what, we're better off just going straight at Alex Caruso, or the purpose of the pick doesn't matter. And Olynyk starts up to set the pick, and then you see him like veer off, bringing his man nowhere near the ball handler so that they cannot switch it to get Alex Caruso off of the ball handler. It's such a subtle minor play, But it's pretty symbolic to me of what makes Miami great is this just complete understanding of what they're doing at all times offensively and defensively. The one that they also do that's interesting defensively is they rotate differently than everybody else. Or they, to avoid getting Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero switched on to LeBron, so Jimmy Butler will be guarding LeBron, they'll set a pick, LeBron comes off it, Tyler Hero or Duncan Robinson stays on LeBron on the switch. Jimmy Butler then fights through the pick and gets back to LeBron. Now, what usually most teams do is now Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero, your least good defender, are in retreat to get back to their man and they get exposed. What Miami does is brings a third guy over to whoever set the pick for LeBron. They then bring another guy over to wherever that guy left. And then Tyler Hero or Duncan Robinson is actually going two guys removed to go get back into the play defensively. It also means if they're hunting Tyler Hero or Duncan Robinson, to go bring Tyler Hero or Duncan Robinson back, they've got the Lakers now have to kind of reset, get two guys removed and bring them back, and probably run out of shot clock time because of it. I don't know if that made sense, but just if I can quickly say it again, because I think it's really interesting. We see these pick and rolls. We saw the Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic pick and roll time and time again, and you end up either having to like double it or switch it. And what Miami is doing is basically switching it, but letting Jimmy Butler get back to LeBron. And so for a brief moment, it's a double. But the guy who set the pick, so that's Duncan Robinson or Tyler Hero's guy, they're probably bringing Jay Crowder off somebody to go get that guy. And then Kelly Olynyk comes off his guy to go to whoever Jay Crowder's guy was. And now Duncan Robinson or Tyler Hero is retreating back to Kelly Olynyk's guy, wherever he might be. And really, because Miami plays so much zone, to some extent, with Kelly Olynyk and Jay Crowder, they're almost zoning up on two guys. It's similar to what Denver did to our weak side, where Denver suddenly had two guys guarding our weak side. But I think we're going to see more and more people start to defend the pick and roll with double of that nature. This is the beauty of the NBA. The incredible beauty of the NBA is these players are so brilliant and so great, and the coaches are so brilliant, so great, that like this thing evolves pretty fast. What we saw was the Jamal Murray, Tyler Hero, Donovan Mitchell, off the bounce three explosions. Well, you can't go play drop big pick and roll like we do with Rudy on that. And you can't do a bunch of, you know, that's where we struggle. And we let these big nights for Dame and Jamal and all these guys go off against us because we're dropping Rudy in the big and they're pulling for the three. Well, these guys are now getting so good, Steph Curry off the bounce, off the three, that you can't do it anymore. So you got to switch out to them. And then you're ending up with mismatches. Then you end up with 4 years ago when Rudy gets spun around by Steph, and then you get guys driving at Rudy out on the floor. And then they talk about Rudy getting played off the floor, which was never true, but him trying to guard James Harden, and Rudy's gotten better at it. Well, now the next step is actually the leagues have gotten better at it. The league now, what we're going to see is that Rudy goes and gets on the guy, and Rudy's long enough, he frees him for a minute, and whoever was guarding Jamal Murray now retreats back to Jamal Murray, and somebody, Royce O'Neal, comes from the weak side and guards Jokic on the rotation, and Bojan Bogdanovic rotates over to get now probably Jeremy Grant, and Rudy drops back to the middle. And now Rudy's back in a one-man zone around the basket, and then it's going to be hard to score again. Because we're going to take that. That's the evolution. And we're watching this evolution happen in like a 3 week span in the bubble. It's kind of amazing. All right. I want to clarify one thing on Rudy's contract. Danny LaRue did a nice job on this. I want to make sure that we're clear on kind of how this works. So there's the Supermax contract, which I think, you know, Rudy has earned the right to have. Let's make sure we never forget that. He's earned the right to have it, but it's a lot. The one thing the Jazz can do, so the Supermax is 35% of this year's salary cap. And the contract has to be 5 years. So there are some, like I have been quoted as saying, and frankly, you know, I was probably wrong. I was trying to probably simplify things a little bit here. The Supermax contract is 35% of the first year salary cap and then 5 years after that. That's basically with no, and there's very, and there was, and I have used the phrase, this is where I've been quoted correctly and been inaccurate. There's really no flexibility around that. There actually is. So let me make sure I'm accurate on this. Contracts start between 30 and 35% in the first year of the salary cap. And so you don't actually have to give someone the full 35% with max raises every year. You do have to give them 5 years, and it does have to start between 30% and 35% of the salary cap. So that, and I was just being loose. So here's what's important to know, is that the Jazz could start Gobert's contract at 30% of the salary cap, probably in the range of $35 million, $34 million. The Supermax would be at 40. And then they actually have the right to either increase it, stay flat, or decrease it up to 8% every year. So there's actually a little bit more flexibility than there would be, I would say, otherwise. Now, the Jazz have to be careful that they have, as I've talked about, my chocolate chip cookie analogy is that if somebody walks up to you and they have 13 chocolate chip cookies and they offer you 8 of their 13 chocolate chip cookies, it's a nice deal. But then the next person walks up and says, I only have 7 chocolate chip cookies and I'll give you all 7. The second deal actually sounds better, even though it's less chocolate chip cookies. The world really comes down to chocolate chip cookies or mudslide cookies from the store. So, yes, the Jazz have some more freedom here than I alluded to in previous conversations, and I want to make sure that I was accurate about that. The max, the super max is starts at 40 and goes every, and I, you know, max extent. The Jazz can start between 30 and 35%, which depending where the cap is, probably comes out at, we'll call it $34 million. And if you just gave a flat five-year deal on that, that's, you know, a five-year at 34 is 170. So that's a pretty good deal. Now, if he might want some raises or that, you know, figure it out. So anyway, that's one way to look at it. You know, the other is you could actually, in theory, with Rudy, you could start him at 35%, which would be probably closer to 40, and then you could actually, in theory, decrease it by 8% every year if Rudy would be willing to that, which is, you know, dropping at about the rate of $3 million a year every year. And so it would drop a span of $15 million over the course of the deal, which he's probably not totally willing to do, but it, you know, now it's a five-year, $185 million deal. These are massive, massive numbers. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy, Woods Cross, and in Logan. The Murdochs and Chevy have been together, my gosh, for like 90 years in Utah. Why? Because Chevy is Americana and the Murdochs are Utah. And it's the perfect combination as the Chevy family and the Murdoch family have been together forever. The heavy-duty Silverado, with the Allison transmission, the Colorado truck. The Chevy truck line is the only one that has all three truck segments, the heavy duty, the light duty half-ton Silverado, and the mid-sized Colorado. The Colorado diesel, the unibody frame is safe, one frame. Chevy runs deep. 90 plus years, Chevy's the bread and butter of Utah in the SUV lineup. The Suburban, the Tahoe, the Equinox, the Traverse, the Trax. Absolutely fabulous. And then we just talked about the great truck lineup that's there. The Murdoch Show Sure program is continuing for you right now. You can have them bring the car to you. Limit contacts, all taking place at Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross, also and in Logan. Feel free to email me first at dlock09@gmail.com. That's dlock09@gmail.com to let me know that you're heading over to Murdoch Chevy. Today's show also brought to you by Built Bar. 6 new amazing flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. And I don't know, but I think I'll have to check whether the pumpkin chocolate chip is still available. It does not look like it. Oh, crusher. The pumpkin chocolate chip is sold out. But the new flavors are all there. The coconut's getting rave reviews. The mint brownie's been one of my favorites. The guys who do the nuts talk about the peanut butter and they talk about the coconut almond as though it is an almond joy bar. It is. It's the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. You won't believe your mouth and you won't believe the macros you get out of it. If you compare it to the leading men's protein bar, you have 120 fewer calories, 3.5 grams of fat less, 34 fewer carb grams, 17 sugar grams less, and 7 grams of protein more. Go to BuiltBar.com, enter in the promo code Locked On. You get $10 off your order. That's BuiltBar.com, promo code Locked On. All right, let's look at the free agent Bryn Forbes of the San Antonio Spurs. We'll look at the Dallas Mavericks coming up a little bit in the program. This week, by the way, probably the same thing, probably no Friday show. Possible, but unlikely. We will be looking at Jeremy Grant. By the way, what was your thought on Marcus Morris versus Paul Millsap? We'll be looking at Jeremy Grant. We'll be looking at Alex Len, the backup center in Detroit. We'll look at Denver's free agent situation while we look at Jeremy Grant, all on the same day. We'll look at Golden State and Derek Favors. And we'll look at Houston and the arrested Malik Beasley. And hopefully I'll watch another game of Jalen Smith. And then I'll try to get to Josh Green this week as well. So that's the plan. All right. Bryn Forbes. 6'2", 27 years old, 205 pounds, sharpshooter. We're going to compare him to 228 guards. He goes down as a shooting guard according to B-Ball Index. Thank you to B-Ball Index for all this work. His badges are catch and shoot, dead eye, giant slayer, and a teardropper. His top talents are pure perimeter shooting, off-ball movement, roll, gravity, and perimeter defense. Interesting. So let's look at him for a second. Total usage rate, middle of the pack, average. So when he's out on the floor, he's getting his shots off, but nothing crazy. This is worth noting about him. The lineup talent that he's been with gets an A. So the offensive talent gets an A. The defensive talent gets an A-. Not good spacing, but he's played with really good players. And his defensive matchup is a B. His perimeter shooting gets a B-plus for three-point shooting, 38.8. Pull-up three-point shooting, which is, as we've talked about, becoming more and more important. He gets an A-minus at 40%. Catch and shoot, a C-plus at 39%. Above the break, 39%, he gets an A-. He gets an F for openness rating. So this is a guy that's making threes while not open. It's pretty important. Percentage of open three-point shots, he gets an F. His total gravity, he gets an A. He peaks out. Perimeter shooting, he gets an A. So he pretty much peaks out on all shot-making elements of things. B-plus for overall three-point shooting, but he does it the hard way. One-on-one total isolation, he gets an F. So he's just purely a shooter. Finishing, adjusted drives for 75 possessions, he gets a D+. Total shots at the rim, he gets an F. Overall finishing, he gets a D-. Getting to the rim, he gets a C-. Pass out rate on drives, he gets a B-. So not much of a no one-on-one, not much of a drive and create. Pretty darn good shooter. Good off-ball movement, but playmaking skills, assist points, D-. Passing efficiency and aggressiveness, he gets a C. Passing versatility and creation volume, he gets an F. Playmaking talent, he gets an F. Can shoot it. Nothing more. Offensive and defensive rebounding, he gets Fs. So this is a 6'2", off the guard, Bryn Forbes, sharpshooter. Loose ball pickpocket rating gets a BB+. Passing lane defense, which they classify as an estimate of how active a defender is in the passing lanes, he gets an F. That's because he's small. 3-point contest and deflections and steals, he gets an F. Not great. A little surprising here for a Spurs, but he knows how to play because he's a Spur. He guards shooting guards most of the time, and he actually ends up guarding pretty good defensive players most of the time. Maybe because they were hiding DeMar DeRozan, who knows. But he ends up guarding high-level Tier 1 21% of the time, which is high. Tier 2 usage players 16% of the time. Let's look at his player impact rating. Josh Goldstein's player impact rating on Bryn Forbes last year is an F. Whoa. Offense, he gets a D, and defense, he gets an F. Real plus minus gives Bryn Forbes a C. Offense, a real plus minus, C plus. Defense, a real plus minus, a D. Raptor, a D minus overall with an offensive C and a defensive D. And box plus minus, a D plus with a C plus and an F. Surprised. I've always thought of Bryn Forbes as a fairly useful off-the-bench sharpshooter, effective field goal percentage in A minus, true shooting percentage in A minus. But great work by B-Ball Index on all the breakdowns, and what you get out of Bryn Forbes is not like... So here's the situation with Bryn Forbes. He was paid $2.8 million last year. He's an unrestricted free agent. And I can't, you know, you read that, you look at that, the size. He's not a point guard. He's a 6'2" shooting guard. San Antonio's figured out to use. I would suspect that he should probably stay there. They have early bird rights on him. And he's not going to garner huge numbers somewhere in this process. That's abundantly clear. From the Jazz standpoint, the Jazz guard line is Conley, Donovan, Joe Ingles for really all intents and purposes. And then depends how you view Mione, Rajon Tucker, and how they fit into it. I'm not sure I see. Now, nothing wrong with another shooter. You know, I think there's an interesting concept here that if, you know, you have a, would you use your biannual, it's a 2-year, $8 million deal, seems like a lot. You could divide it up a little bit. If you lose Jordan Clarkson in free agency and you need a little bit more scoring off the bench, would you do that? If you don't lose Jordan Clarkson, I'm not sure why you would possibly go after Bryn Forbes. You know, if you've got Conley, Donovan, Joe, Jordan Clarkson, with Mione and Rajon Tucker, it doesn't seem necessary. That's Bryn Forbes. We're walking through all the free agents. Some fit, some don't. Jeremy Grant's an interesting one to look at tomorrow. Alex Len and Derek Favors will certainly be probably more interesting than Bryn Forbes as the week goes on for the Jazz. Jay Crowder, Justin Holiday, Aaron Bates, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Alec Burks, Dario Saric, Austin Rivers, DJ Augustine, all Otto Porter. He's not a free agent. I think he's got a year. He's got a player option. Bobby Portis, Jakob Poeltl, Kelly Olynyk, Mo Harkless, all before we're done here. We got a lot of days until November 18th, the draft, free agency, hopefully shortly thereafter. Etwan Moore, one of my favorites. When I do my B-ball index on Etwan Moore, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Let's look at the Dallas Mavericks as we continue. Today's show brought to you by Homie, revolutionizing the real estate market. It's funny, I was with some friends the other night, and they're like, I just cannot believe that the real estate market's not being changed. Well, it is. Homie is changing the real estate market. Homie's done some interesting things, by the way. They put together a study you might be interested in checking out, homie.com/millennials. Homes has saved customers over $50 million in total by not using traditional realtors. Home sellers are saving an average of $10,000 when they use Homie. And 73% of Homie's agents were part of the top 500 agents this year. Homie's been around since 2015, so it's not a startup. It's just taking a while to revolutionize in the world and real estate, and it's not taking that long because, frankly, look at the dollar figures of what they're doing with transactions. Homie's listed sold 1.2% higher than comparable homes with traditional buyers, and they did it 8 days faster. It's pretty awesome. So take a few moments, look into the real estate world, and then text LOCK to 88588. That's LOCK to 88588 and find out what Homie can do for you. Homie will get you started with an experienced local Homie agent. They'll help you every step of the way because Homie's got your back. Today's show is also brought to you by Roman. So with Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, and all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you free, 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. So get started. It's simple. Just go to roman.com/lockedonNBA, and you get a complete online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, used to be something no one wanted to talk about. Now there's Roman. Complete with an online visit today, connect with a healthcare professional, and take care of it. It's not an easy conversation to have. Usually we just brush it off. I lost my mojo. I wasn't feeling right. I had a long day at work. But with Roman, it's easy to talk about, and with healthcare professionals, we can prescribe real medication. It's safe, simple, and totally discreet. Go to roman.com/lockedonNBA, and if approved, you get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's getroman.com/lockedonNBA. getroman.com/lockedonNBA. All right, let's look at the Dallas Mavericks sheet here for a second. The Mavericks had an active cap of $120 million and total cap space. They're over the cap last year. So let's go to 2021 update. Kristaps Porzingis is on the books for $25 million. Tim Hardaway Jr. is a player option at 19. He had a great year. I think they'll try to find a way to sign him to a deal. Dwight Powell is on the books for $11 million. The injury last year was a bummer for them on that. Going by position, Delon Wright is on the books for $9 million next year and $8 million the year after. Which feels like a lot when you got Luka. Luka's on the books, obviously. J.J. Barea is a free agent. Jalen Brunson on the books for 1.8. So, I mean, their point guards are Luka, Delon Wright, and Jalen Brunson. Now, Delon Wright is their defensive stopper. Tim Hardaway, as I mentioned, player option for 19. Courtney Lee's unrestricted. And they have Seth Curry for 7.8, 8 million, and 8.5. The Delon Wright and Seth Curry, each at 8 million, feels like a lot to me for them, considering where they are. But they play a lot of guards. Dorian Finney-Smith, they're playing $4 million a year. It's a pretty darn good deal. Kristaps Porzingis is on the books for 29, 31, 33, and 38 coming up. Dwight Powell is on the books for 10, 11, 11, and 11. I love Dwight Powell. I would do anything. I would love to get my hands on Dwight Powell. He can handle. He can move it. He'd be great for us. He could play the five backup. He could play the four. I'm a Dwight Powell believer. Maxi Kleber's on the books for $8 million, and their center position is pretty empty, depending what they're playing to do. Really, they play Dwight Powell as their center, but Boban's on for another three, and Willie Cauley-Stein. So it's a pretty interesting situation because there's not a with Dallas, there's not a lot of flexibility here. Their contracts and if they're going to, you know, Mark Cuban always wants to make the big move. But for them to make the big move, they don't really have cap space. The luxury tax threshold we're playing is at 132. They've got about $21 million of under the luxury tax right now. And they don't really have any free agents they have to re-sign to their credit, right? Like, they don't really care about Courtney Lee or J.J. Barea or Trey Burke or Willie Cauley-Stein. Like, those aren't important deals to them. So they're pretty well set. So they could probably use the mid-level exception, which, you know, suddenly they go add Jeremy Grant. If they can get him at the mid-level, I would assume Denver would pay him more at that point. But they can, they have a mid-level exception deal that they can, and they don't have a lot of cap space. They probably can try to piece together a pretty exciting trade if they wanted to. Right? They could piece together a DeLon Wright $9 million, a Seth Curry $7 million, and maybe a Dwight Powell $11 million, and they suddenly are pulling a $30 million player while giving up some pieces. They could add some real depth to a roster if they wanted another big-time player. And they can go try in this free agent market to use all their Dallas persuasion, who doesn't want to play with Luka, and go get a mid-level exception player. Because they don't have cap, they're going to play over the cap, but they have enough room under the luxury tax. So it's interesting. Dallas is in an interesting spot. They're really good. Now, Tim Hardaway Jr. at $19 million right now is his cap figure. Will he want more money than that? Or do they sign him for a three-year, $60 million deal and it kind of holds the same place? Can they? They don't want to actually bring it down a lot because they don't want to. There's no value to them get under the cap. So there's not a big element there. They have just a bunch of these mid. You know, they've kind of done. Indiana did a lot of this. Indiana's kind of mastered the $10 and $11 million contract, and it feels like Dallas has done that as well. DeLon Wright, to me, is a perfect player to put next to Donovan Mitchell. Not a great, you'd rather have a better shooter, but can defend any position, can handle enough, long. That's, you know, if I'm trying to build next to Donovan Mitchell, I want a really good defensive guard who can shoot it enough so that Donovan gets some space, but also doesn't have to defend the best player all the time. That would be DeLon Wright to me, is someone I've always really liked. Good pickup by Dallas. At $9 million, a lot, 8% of their cap. What they're really playing with is this funny game that DeLon Wright's 8% of their cap, Maxi Kleber's 8% of their cap, Seth Curry's 7% of the cap, Dorian Finney-Smith is 3% of the cap. Like, they're getting pretty good value out of these type of players. It's impressive. All right, that is today's Locked On Jazz. Tomorrow, as I mentioned, we'll look at Jeremy Grant and the Denver Nuggets. And then Detroit and Alex Len on Wednesday. Golden State and Derek Favors on Thursday. Plus, I'll try to watch some more draft prospects. Thanks very much for tuning in. Monday edition of Locked On NBA recaps last night's ball game with Josh Lloyd. Go listen to it right now. Also, Hollinger and Duncan comes out for you. I think they're going to move that one to later in the week now coming out, though. So make sure you keep an eye on Hollinger and Duncan, the NBA podcast. It is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.